Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can heal yourself naturally. And my newsletter is now available on Substack. Now, our guest today is Robert Dale Rogers. Robert Dale Rogers has been an herbalist for over 50 years, and we are going to be talking with him today about his 65th book. I've only published 10, slacker that I am. So he has just published Moss Medicine, Indigenous Wisdom, and Modern Pharmacology. And you can find out more about Robert Dale Rogers and his very important work at his website, selfhealdistributing.com. Welcome, Robert Dale Rogers.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
So, Robert Dale Rogers, can you explain for our audience what are mosses and bryophytes in general?
Well, these are very small plants that have been around with us for hundreds of millions of years that are generally overlooked when people are walking in the woods. They're low growing. They're often found growing on places where you wouldn't see anything else. And one of the reasons why mosses are unique is that they have no roots. That is, in order for them to survive, they need to take atmospheric moisture. And so that makes them extremely unique. And also, too, I think, because people who generally walk in the woods and, you know, you might know some trees and you know some flowers and things of that nature, the rest looks like a big green curtain. And until you actually get down on your knees and maybe a magnifying glass, you don't realize how much differentiation there is on the plants that are down there. Yeah.
Now, Robert Dale Rogers, you are also the author of the book, The Fungal Pharmacy, which is about the healing powers of medicinal mushrooms. What is the difference between, because they're all growing on the ground. I mean, that's, so are trees, so are flowers, so are, this sounds like a really stupid question to start out with. I apologize for our audience. But no. So what's the difference between mosses and mushrooms?
That's a great question. Well, as I mentioned, mosses have no roots and they're a plant, whereas fungi have their own kingdom. And whether they grow, the mycelium grows under the ground or in the trees, basically mushrooms that we see visually are the fruiting bodies of that organism for producing spores and reproduction. And, you know, they're edible, they're medicinal, they help to remediate damaged ecosystems. And so they've been around even longer. I mean, fungi go back billions of years. And so, yeah, they're the precursor, really.
Okay. Now, I have to ask, okay, you've been at this herbalist thing for over 50 years. As a long-term botanist and herbalist, do you communicate with plants? And if so, how do you communicate with plants?
Well, that's a great question. A very interesting question. Yeah, I'm not as intuitive as my wife, who really is able to journey and go down deeply into it. But I'll just tell you a quick story, and maybe that'll tell you the story. So years ago, I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Botany. And then the next year, I found myself on a little piece of land up north in northern Alberta, and I didn't know one plant. There was not one plant in the forest there that I knew. But I was fortunate that there was an Indigenous woman who, a few miles away, and so I went down and asked her if she would teach me something about the plants. And she looks at me in a classic Native way, and she goes, "Oh, maybe." And so, yeah. And so she said, go in the woods, find a plant, sit with it, whatever, and come back and tell me what it tells you about itself. And so I did that for a day. Went back. She said, no, that's not right. Make the story quick. And then second day, no, I took the plant. I looked at it. I pulled out the root. It was a wild sarsaparilla, Aralia nudicollis, a relative of ginseng. And so the third day I'm sitting there and, at that time, cannabis was illegal, but I had a little bit of a puff of a joint and laying in the beautiful sunshine. And as I sat up, there was a rabbit over in the corner of my eye, and it kept lopping across the field and came right up to the plant I was staring at, looked right at me, nibbled on the leaf, and then lopped off. And I went, wow. And knowing nothing else, I went back to Rose, the teacher, the next morning, I told her, I said, I think it has something to do with rabbits. And her eyes lit up and she got a big smile and she goes, I'll teach you. And later on, I found the Cree name for that plant is rabbit root. So that's just one example. And trusting your giving yourself enough time, plants will share with you what they're about, whether it's signature or energy or whatever.
Yeah, and as we're talking about moss, I have to digress and share a story that I heard many, many years ago about a man who wanted to be a healer. So there was a man, he wanted to be a healer. This is a great story, and to me, this is quite profound. And so he said, okay, I'm going to start with tomato plants. So he went to the hardware store, bought some tomato plants. They all died. So then he went to another store and he saw a little cactus and thought, okay, cactus, maybe I won't kill this thing. And he put it in the foyer of his front house. And every day when he came into the house, he would look at the cactus and admire it and just sort of observe what was happening with it. And the cactus thrived. And he felt that this is really the essence of being a healer, is to really, really pay attention, really, really listen. And in my healing room is full of orchids. So and I've got the easy grocery store moss orchids, the Phalaenopsis, and then I have, rare endangered fairy orchid from India, and another I have a gladiator orchid and a number of other, more challenging to grow, but I feel that listening to plants and really paying attention to them helps you be a better healer. So, in your vast experience of over 50 years as an herbalist, how does listening to plants help us to be a better healer?
That's a great question. Well, I think it really, number one, it reconnects us with our own nature. That is, very often people think nature is something out there, but no, we're all part of nature and we're all interconnected on some level. And so energetically, whether you're dealing with fungi or plants or what you're really connecting with is the energy of the source. And the source of life. And by the way, I just finished a book that's too large on orchids. It's medicinal orchids. It's but it's so large with the beautiful pictures that it would have to be two volume. And if you ever find a publisher who would be interested, you could pass that on to me because it's going to take a big investment. But it's the book is done basically. Yeah.
Okay, I may be able to hook you up and we'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah.
But the point is that I feel that many people want to become healers. Many people are interested in natural healing. That's why one of the many reasons I run the Natural Healing Show for UK
Right.
Radio. And so by practicing like you did and learning about the rabbit connection to this plant, right? And for me, raising the orchids, and I have a whole organic garden, and going out and listening to the plants, whether where do you want me to plant you? And, what do you need now? Now, so going back to mosses, because as you said, the orchids are so dramatic and gorgeous that, they definitely grab our attention. But moss is usually underfoot, and we hardly even notice it all. Why are mosses generally overlooked and even ignored?
I think you've hit the spot. I mean, orchids probably for some people, the rose and then orchids are probably the highest evolved flowering plant. I mean, they speak to us. They almost look animal-like or human-like. Some of the flowers are just truly amazing that way. They mimic, certain insects, and they've evolved amazingly. Whereas moss early on, several million years ago, as they begin to evolve, they were comfortable with who they were. They weren't aspiring to be anything bigger or anything larger, and they just do what they do. And they've set a really an important part of our forests because they really stabilize everything, not just with regards to ecology. But they've been used around the world for medicine, for healing, things of that nature. And identifying them is trickier. It's certainly more difficult than orchids, right? Which can be a challenge, and certainly different than other flowering plants, and even harder in some ways than fungi, which are difficult to differentiate, ones that you can eat and ones you shouldn't. But mosses, actually, when you get a little hand lens, they all of a sudden become more well known to you, and then you can start to utilize them for your own health and well-being.
Now, so we were talking about the difference between mosses and mushrooms, both low growing. And for sure, you can definitely kill yourself by eating a poisonous mushroom. What about mosses? Are mosses toxic to the human body?
Very few. Surprisingly, people who are interested in the topic, they'll note in my book that really, if you're going to use any mosses for medicine, generally speaking, you use them, you dry them first, and then you prepare them either as a tea or as a tincture or whatever. But no, there's none that really would cause you any harm. At least, I mean, some of them may not be very pleasant. Right. I mean, within the bryophytes, which include mosses and liverworts and hornworts, liverworts are kind of very interesting in that they all contain very strong essential oils. And these essential oils, of course, are what kept them from being eaten by herbivores. But those essential oils are very powerful medicine and used for all kinds of health benefits. So, yeah, and those can be prepared. And used for medicine as well.
Now, what are a few unusual things about mosses and bryophytes?
Well, I mentioned that mosses have no roots. Bryophytes bryophytes in general, that cl big classification, liverworts, which I just mentioned, basically, they are unique shape. They're a little different. In the book, I differentiate between mosses, liverworts, and hornworts, how they look a little different. They have a similarity in terms of how they produce spores, but basically, and some of them actually have what you would call little flowers. But by and large, they get no larger than, a few centimeters tall. I mean, maybe a sphagnum moss could be up to 6 inches or a foot at the most, and that's probably the most well-known. Sphagnum moss is all utilized all over the world, is harvested as well. If you enjoy your a wee dram of single malt scotch once in a while, you can give that credit of that unique taste to the fact that the barley that was sprouted before it was distilled was flavored by sphagnum moss fires. And sphagnum moss was collected and used as peat was a form of heat and used for heating and cooking as well. But it also has peat mosses. It's interesting to note, once in a while in Europe and in North America to less extent, they'll find a body of a human that died thousands of years ago, totally preserved in sphagnum moss, peat mosses, because of the acidity of the water and soil there that didn't allow anything to degrade. And so it's pretty powerful.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. We're listening to the wise and prolific Robert Dale Rogers talking about his 65th book, Moss Medicine, Indigenous Wisdom and Modern Pharmacology. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Robert Dale Rogers. We're talking about today about the healing powers of moss. What are some ethnobotanical uses of mosses and bryophytes from all over the world?
Well, the one I'm most familiar with is the Cree and other First Nations of Northern Canada. They would actually create what they call moss tents. They would take, in the forest, they would do some lean-to of different trees, and then they would cover them. And then they would gather certain sphagnum mosses, ones that are less irritating, and they would take and dry those. And then they would store them under there so that when it snowed in the wintertime, they would continue to be dry. And then they would use those for sanitary napkins, use them for diapers, things of that nature. And in fact, years ago, I think one company actually used sphagnum moss as part of a sanitary napkin product, right? And so that's one of the major things they would use them for. But it's very interesting to note that wherever you have sufficient moisture, mosses will tend to grow. In fact, many people don't like mosses in, say, the Pacific Northwest or down in southeastern United States, where there's sufficient moisture, and they try to kill their mosses. And this is not good, because really the idea of a pristine Kentucky bluegrass lawn, the amount of energy it takes, the amount of water, the amount of obnoxious lawnmowers and all of that, we are much better off growing moss gardens, which are really revered in Japan. I mean, in Kyoto alone, there's over 700 sites that have moss gardens that are that are visited for their tranquil, serene environment. And so, we much better be off growing mosses. And they sequester more carbon dioxide, which is becoming an issue on a planetary level of our climate change. So we're better off looking at mosses.
So Robert Dale Rogers, you are the co-director of the Earth Spirit Medicine Program. And one of the sort of modules in that is learning about flower essences. Now, in my healing room, I have flower essences from flowers literally all over the world. Of course, my favorite are the orchid flower essences.
Right.
And so the big picture is that the plant kingdom offers us a variety of kinds of medicines, whether it's herbal medicine and also these essences that work on the mental, emotional, spiritual aspects. So as a long-term botanist and herbalist, when you tune into the healing messages, the spiritual messages of moss and bryophytes, what do you receive?
Yeah, I've never personally attempted to produce a flower, a moss essence. Having said that, I was introduced very young. When I was 6 years old, I developed tuberculosis. An uncle came back from the Korean War, blah, blah, I got infected. And I found myself that summer in our backyard, which was full of flowers. I would take my mom's canning jars, fill them with water, pick flower petals, set them out in the sun, and drinking them. And this is at 6 years old. And it wasn't until I was about 20 that I was introduced to the Bach flower essences. And then I started to use those in clinical practice. And I did that for 35 years or something of that nature. I found them very valuable. And I've also produced some flower essences from my part of the world, which is northern Canada.
Yes. So as 6 years old, you were just intuitively self-medicating with flower essences from your own garden. Going back to moss, when you tune in as the author of moss medicine, what do you think the spiritual meaning of moss medicine is?
Oh, I think it's all about humility. I think it's all about us really recognizing. I think very often we get very egocentric, that we are somehow the highest evolved, organism on the planet, and there everything is there for our use and disposal. And I think it teaches us to recognize that we are all part of everything. And so I would say humility is the word that comes to mind first.
Very profound message. Now, let's talk about the medicinal uses of moss medicine. I know that people use sea moss for hormonal balance. Can you tell us more about sea moss for hormonal balance and other uses?
When you say sea moss, are we talking about a moss, or are we talking about a seaweed or a lichen or what?
Seaweed high in iodine. So that.
Yeah. So like an Irish moss or.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Irish moss is a seaweed. When I was a kid, I grew up on Prince Edward Island, which is a little island in eastern Canada. And after the storm, down on the beaches, people would have a big horse and wagon, and they go along with pitchforks and collect all this Irish moss and toss it into the thing. And that it's a major source of carrageenan, which is used as a thickener, I guess, for yogurts and things of that nature. By the way, I think I want to share this. People who have Crohn's or celiac or problems of that nature, carrageenan may be causing them more harm than good. Like a lot of the gluten-free products that are on the market, they use carrageenan as a thickener. And something to see whether or not you're sensitive to it. You may be, and you should avoid it. It can cause intestinal damage.
Great information. Now, can you share with us some common medicinal uses of the mosses and bryophytes?
Yeah, Absolutely. The liverworts are powerfully antibacterial, antifungal. They have been found, one of them that I found very interesting, actually called the giant rose moss. It has the ability to increase the amount of blood flow through the heart aorta by up to 30%, and may be very useful medically speaking for people who have a constriction or congestion that's not allowing for adequate blood flow through that particular today you can get operations that actually replace that aorta, but lots of parts of the world that still use plant medicine that would be very useful. And the one that really fascinated me the most was a moss that is now grown in bioreactors in Germany, and has a compound in it that actually basically helps to replace an enzyme deficiency that's genetically predisposed in a condition called Fabry disease, which is an inability to break fats down properly. And they have found that an extract of this moss actually does the job of helping to reinitiate and almost takes a DNA defect and helps people to overcome that so that they actually can use fats properly and assist in the healing, basically.
Now, Robert Dale Rogers, if somebody's listening to this interview and thought, okay, I want to use medicinal mosses and bryophytes, where would you recommend, where in UK, where in the US, in continental US, Canada, would you recommend people turn to for good medicinal mosses?
Hardly anywhere.
It's
sort of a thing that really isn't available. I remember about 6 months ago or something, I published a book on ferns, on fern pharmacy.
Yes.
And also people would ask, well, where do you get those medicines? And they're really not available at this point on store shelves. And part of it is that myself as a herbalist, when I was in practice, I didn't really know much about these. I mean, it's only been the last decade or so where I've been taking a deep dive and researching, then I'm finding that these are great potential health products, but nobody's really doing it, right?
Yes. So, yes, we interviewed you here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio about your book, The Fern Pharmacy. Right.
Oh.
Now, my fiddle-headed fern in my organic garden has beautiful fiddleheads on it. It's stunning. So it's doing really, really well. And at that time we did the interview, we were like, nobody's making medicine from ferns. And what you're also saying is nobody that you know of is currently using medicine for moss, from making medicine or selling medicine for moss.
No, they're not. And, there is one product called Sphagol, Sphagol. Yeah, thank you, Sphagol.
Yeah.
And it is a popular product in Europe. It's actually a derivative of waters from peat moss swamps, so to speak. That is used as a nutrient containing fumic acid and fulvic acid and things of that nature. And people are using that for a nutritional restorative. But there are other mosses, and so that's available. But that's in Europe only, that I believe. I'm not sure I've ever seen it in North America, Sphagol. And also peat moss baths are very popular in spas in Europe. You can go and get heated, peat moss baths, which are very healing, and not just the heat, but the nutrients that are in there. Peat moss generates hydrogen ions and makes everything very acidic. And so when you're in a bath of that nature, it takes and draws ions from your own body as well. And so there's a healing mechanism there for arthritis, rheumatism, all of those inflammatory conditions, right?
So fascinating. So here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, I did interview somebody who has a business of hydrogen baths and, you know, doing exactly what you're talking about, right?
Right. Exactly. Oh, well, that's, yeah. And I think there's waters now that where people are adding hydrogen ions to water as well. Yeah.
Extra hydrogen ions. So Robert Dale Rogers, by writing about the healing powers of moss and the healing powers of fern, are you hoping to inspire other entrepreneurs, other herbalists to start creating natural healing remedies from moss and from ferns?
Well, first of all, I think I'd like to, I'm hoping to initiate a conversation among herbalists. Yes, I agree. But also, I think there is great opportunity to look at and do further research on this. Part of the book is called Modern Pharmacology. And when you look at the chemistry of mosses, they contain unique compounds that have been found to be extremely useful for adjunct, for example, for adjuncts in chemotherapy, for allowing chemotherapy treatments to be less just as effective, but reduce side effects. And also compounds that help to increase the efficacy of antibiotics that have lost their ability to work on drug-resistant organisms. And so they're, because they have antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal properties, I think there's a whole world of research that needs to be done. Yeah.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Robert Dale Rogers talk about his 65th book, Moss Medicine. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Robert Dale Rogers here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. We recognize that part of being healthy is taking care of the planet, because environment is our most powerful factor. And when our environment is healthy, it's easier for us to be healthy. How are mosses and bryophytes useful for planetary ecological survival?
That's a great question. Well, you know, I often believe that most of the focus of ecology tends to be of the higher plant order. That is, plants that have flowers, trees, etc. And these are all certainly important. But as you dive deeper into it and you look at it, basically the mycelium of fungi under the ground and the microorganisms that they attract. And then the next up, you're looking at the mosses, and then you look at ferns and some of the what would be called primitive plants. They actually are an important part of sequestering of carbon dioxide, producing of oxygen for our environment. I mean, basically, you know, we are creating a oxygen deficiency on this planet by burning, you know, the Amazon forest. Every summer now, the boreal forest of northern Canada, millions and millions of acres are burning up because of climate change. And so, you know, we need oxygen. We plants are a major source of oxygen, and we are really harming ourselves by devastating areas that contain mosses. Now, having said that, sphagnum moss is harvested in northern Canada, dried, and then shipped around the world, quite a bit to the U.S. for people who want to create a healthier garden site for themselves, right? They're part of gardening. I mean, I think as an orchid fan, sphagnum moss is a very important part of keeping moisture in the roots. So, yeah. Having said that, I really think that it's a matter of people just taking time to pay attention to what's around them. The next time you go in the woods, just get down there a little bit and see what's there. You'll be surprised. Moss can grow on rocks, right? I mean, rock. They have no roots. And so if you want to increase moss production in your backyard, you can make what I call a moss milkshake. You just take some moss from the forest, put it in your blender, a little water, and then just spread it all over some rocks or gravel in your backyard. And before you know it, if you have the right moisture in your air, it'll start to grow, and it continue to grow. So
now, I love that you talked about moisture. So here in Atlanta, there it's very high humidity. And as a medical intuitive healer, one of the things I'm frequently finding when people come to me and they can't get well is they're exposed to mold, and mold sensitivity is a whole issue. Mold in the house, and anytime you have humidity over 50%, you're definitely going to have mold. So you are a botanist and an herbalist. So what's the difference between mold and moss?
Mold is a fungus. Mold is in the fungal kingdom, and some of those are quite nasty. I mean, Aspergillus, and there's different ones that are really, you know, can cause major problems. And you absolutely are right. People who live in humid climates are much more prone, because these spores will then linger in the air for longer and can get inhaled, and that problem. And some molds are quite deadly. Some black molds that grow in people's homes that have due to humidity, or maybe they had a leak in the roof that rain was going down the inside of the gyprock, and before they know it, they're inhaling these. And it is a serious problem, definitely. Not just asthma. It can cause emphysema and lung cancers and things like that. So keeping your humidity in your home is super important.
Yeah, keeping your humidity below 50%. I remember years ago, I had a client. He came to me. He was, I think, about 20 years old at the time. And he'd been literally everywhere trying to get well. He had been even sent to a mental hospital. And I work with clients literally in 6 continents remotely. And he was the only client I was like, I need to go to your house. And it was quite interesting, because years ago, his house had caught on fire. The fire department came. They, you know, sprayed water over it, put the fire out. And then he had horrific mold infestation. And I found the best mold expert that I could in Atlanta, Georgia. They went out there and they said, it's so bad. He was lucky to be alive. And so mold can literally kill you. And so anyway, yeah. Mold is different from moss. So if somebody is looking at their environment, how would they tell the difference between mold and moss? If you're just looking with the naked eye.
Ah, well, you know, molds also are very often on cereal crops and things like that as well, right? And actually, one of the nasty ones that gets into our food chain is a mold that grows on corn, on peanuts. Like, and believe it or not, organic peanut butter contains more molds than the other stuff.
You're referring to aflatoxin, right?
Yes. Yes,
aflatoxin.
absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. And so a lot of people who are allergic to nuts, what they're really doing is they're having a reaction to the aflatoxin. I'm laughing at my American accent, my Southern, the aflatoxin. Of course, I'm from Georgia, home of Jimmy Carter and the Peanuts. But aflatoxin is a terrible mold that, again, many people are allergic to. So, again, you are hopefully going to inspire lots of people to discuss the medicinal properties of moss. If you were advising an entrepreneur or an herbalist who wanted to make herbal medicine from moss, where would you recommend they start?
Well, I think they get the book, number one. I have a great bibliography in the back of the book, hundreds and hundreds of citations of research that's already been done. And then pick something that's very frequent to your region. One of the things that is true of natural health products is that some areas of the world have exploited and over-harvested natural products. And so we want something that's sustainable. I like the model that was used in Germany with one particular moss, but there are other ways, other parts of the world. I think, for example, sphagnum moss has not been explored to its extreme that it could. I mean, there's early indications it was used hundreds of years ago. It used to be used as a field dressing for war wounds, where people didn't die of the loss of blood. They died of the infection associated with it. And so they found that sphagnum moss is not only more absorbent than cotton, but it also has antibacterial properties in it that prevented the bacteria from growing. And so there's lots to do. I mean, one of the things we all are familiar with dengue fever. Dengue virus is a nasty, nasty condition. And in one of the liverworts, there is a compound in it that actually prevents the replication of that virus. And so that's one area that could be explored tomorrow. People could start looking at that.
Now, you mentioned that in Europe, some people make baths or make medicinal baths out of peat moss to increase the hydrogen uptake. If somebody's listening to this broadcast and think, okay, I've got lots of moss in my garden, how would you recommend they use moss in a medicinal bath?
Well, I've never done it. Yeah, I do. I've just cited that they use it in Europe. And to clarify your question, the hydrogen, the body doesn't take up that hydrogen. The hydrogen ion actually attaches to toxins that are drawn out of the skin in that particular case.
Yes.
So it's a little different mechanism. Yeah.
So a healing bath that's very common is, for example, Epsom salt. So putting a cup of Epsom salts in the regular size bathtub, that is going to help remineralize your whole system. And then if you add one cup of Epsom salts and one cup of baking soda, that is a healer's remedy that helps to clear your aura. So
yes.
If you're an empath, which many of my listeners definitely are, and you know that you pick up energy and emotions from your environment or from other people, a simple thing to do is every day to take an Epsom salt bath with one cup Epsom salt, one cup baking soda, and it will just help clear the energy out of your field.
Yeah, actually, as you know, that's a great remedy for people who have had to have x-rays or radiation or things of that nature. It's a very effective way to remove those toxins. In fact, I enjoy flotation tanks, which are magnesium sulfate baths, right, where you float in an environment that's quiet and dark, you know, kind of back to the womb almost. And while you're relaxing in there, you can just feel the relaxation in the muscles. And that benefit lasts for a number of days after you've had that particular adventure. And it's a good, I enjoy it because it's a good way to meditate as well.
So Robert Dale Rogers, the author of Moss Medicine, Indigenous Wisdom and Modern Pharmacology, if there's one thing that you really want the world to understand about moss, what would it be?
That we need more of it, that we should encourage its growth. We shouldn't be destroying it. We shouldn't be replacing it with Kentucky bluegrass lawns. We should embrace it like the Japanese do. There are Japanese moss gardens. There's one off of one of the islands off of Washington State. They have a beautiful moss garden. And in my country, in just outside of Victoria, they have Bouchard Gardens, which are quite a beautiful sight. And they have a Japanese moss garden there as well, where when as soon as you enter that sphere, you can just feel yourself relax. And I think one of the major problems that we have in modern Western society is that we are bombarded with stressful situations. And people need to learn ways to not just combat that, but to actually increase the ability of our bodies to relax, to not take on stress. And I think stress is a big killer. I mean, really it is. And it's one of the causes of inflammation in our body. And then inflammation, whatever part of your body's inflamed, that's probably going to be the part that really deteriorates the quickest.
Yes, you've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Currigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out about more about me at CatherineCurrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. Our guest today has been Robert Dale Rogers discussing his 65th book, Moss Medicine, Indigenous Wisdom and Modern Pharmacology. And you can find out more about Robert Dale Rogers and his wonderful work at his website, selfhealdistributing.com. And remember, the next time you're walking through a forest and you notice the moss, the humble moss under your feet, realize that moss is doing a tremendous job maintaining the ecological balance for our whole planet. And the spiritual message of moss, according to Robert Dale Rogers, is humility. So when we have the humility to recognize where we stand in the whole plant kingdom, we can heal ourselves naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.